from speaking of death, of speaking of losing one's life. Because when you lose your life and you do not know Christ as your Savior, your life is completely gone forever, never to be restored. God has already set the date for judgment. Psalm 90:12 said, the Lord wants us to be able to number our days and to fill us with His wisdom, God's infinite wisdom. You may make or break appointments in the life that the Lord has given us here on earth, but this is one appointment that you are going to keep. Fear what is far greater. Your fears and my fears may not be the same, but right now it is safe to say that many people have great fear of what is going on, because we do not know what's going to take place in the next 14 to 21 days. But we need not fear. We cannot let it rule over our lives. We cannot allow fear to overcome us. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us one of power and of love. And there's a key word that ends there at the end, power and love. But then He says, a sound mind. Now, for one who is of the world and has no idea what it means to have a relationship with Christ Jesus, they are not capable of having any of these things in which Timothy is speaking of. They may feel that they have power. They may think that they know love. They may think they have a sound mind. But you cannot have any of those three things if you do not know Christ Jesus. You, as a believer in God Almighty, cannot have a sound mind. And what that means in regards to having a sound mind is knowing that the Lord is living within you, and He will direct your path if you lean unto Him. The Lord has given us all a sound mind, His children. He has also bestowed upon us His infinite wisdom. Therefore, we should also realize that there are times when we must take the proper actions, as I've already stated, to protect one another. Excuse me. If I were to blindfold myself and go and get in my truck and drive down the road, the chances of me wrecking, crashing my vehicle, harming myself, harming others, is pretty severe, don't you say? I would say that it's probably 100% guarantee that I would crash my vehicle. Do you think that's the case? Yeah, that's going to happen. And so with that being said, when I choose to take the blindfold off and get into my vehicle and drive, my chances of being a safe driver increases. Same situation here with what we're dealing with today. We are to have a sound mind. We are to do what we are to do to protect one another. I protect the roadways by not driving blindfold. I protect myself. The deacons and myself chose to protect you all by doing what we think is right at this current time, hoping that this soon passes by us and we don't have to worry about it any longer. But the Lord gives us this sound mind, this ability to make decisions that will still bring Him honor and bring Him glory. But we have to choose the way in which we want to do that. It's very important that we do take proper precautions. But at the same time, as we take the precautions necessary, that we do not take them with fear in our hearts and in our minds. We cannot let that overrule who we are in Christ Jesus. For those who do not know God, I can see how fear could consume their minds, their every thought, every action that they make. I could see why they could be consumed, why the world could be consumed by fear. But you and I should not be consumed by fear of any thing in this world, no matter what happens to you and to me. We need not fear, remembering of the power and of the love and of the sound mind that God has promised to those who call upon His name. When this all began to unfold this past week, it was real when I saw that the sports world was beginning to cancel, postpone all things imaginable. When the news came that the NBA was canceling, I knew it was only going to be a matter of time before it trickled to the collegiate, then the high school level. And can you imagine being some of those athletes, how quickly their world was turned upside down? Then we saw that Disneyland was closing its gates for an undetermined amount of time. And then Disney World chose to do the same. And then, of course, our school district, both Lancaster and Kershaw County. And now we have seen that all of North Carolina has shut down their schools. We are in a national state of emergency because of what is going on here in our lives. And who would have ever thought that we would have faced something like this in the year of 2020, in the year of such great knowledge and wealth of knowledge, and also the ability to create medicines to protect. This proves to us what? That we're all vulnerable. That none of us can sustain life on our own. When all of this began to make headway with the news, I will admit that I had a bit of uncertainty of what was going to happen. Not of fear, but of uncertainty, because I have never faced anything like this before. And I don't think any of you here have ever faced anything of this magnitude here in the United States of America. It is human nature to have fear. It is human nature to have questions. It is even human nature for you as a believer in God to ask Him, why, God, are you allowing this to happen? He doesn't frown upon you asking that question. It is okay to have these types of doubts. We cannot let these doubts, we cannot let these fears rule us. Fear is a driving force, but as Christians, it should never, as Brother Foster prayed earlier, fear is a liar. Fear should never determine who you are in Christ Jesus, because you are not of fear if you are of Christ. And as I was deliberating in my heart and in my mind which direction the Lord wanted me to specifically go for today's message to His people, an old song came to my mind that I have not heard in a very long time by the Cathedrals, titled Yesterday. I want to read the lyrics to you this morning. It says, yesterday things were different. Today they're different again. Jesus will never change. Jesus is always the same. The sparrow will find a new dwelling. The eagle will change its nest. But I'm holding on to the changeless one, and I'm leaning on His breast. The river will change its course. The mountains may crumble and fall. Time will leave its mark, they say, upon us one and upon us all. Yesterday, things were different. Today, they're different again. Jesus will never change. Jesus is always the same. And how different was yesterday as to today? How different will tomorrow be as to today? But as time continues to march on, God Almighty, the Creator of time, will always remain the same. Hebrews 13:8 reads, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe this verse? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the very one who is in control of the things today, is the very one who created the heavens and the earth? And He is. He is the very same. And no matter what takes place in this world, it's not going to ever alter who He is and what His Son did for you and what His Son did for me on Calvary. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This verse is simple for you and me. It is obvious that we will never understand the way in which God operates. But what He has told us to do, what He has commanded you and I to do, is that we have faith and trust in Him. That is all he wants you to do. If you are able to just have that faith, to keep that faith, to trust in him, he will take care of you. It is not our place to figure out what God is doing. It will never be our place. We're not worthy to figure out what God is doing. But what I do believe is taking place with the work of God. He's calling his people. He's calling this world, a lost and dying world, to repent. He's giving them another example of him being in control. Letting man know, no matter how many degrees they may have hanging on their wall, no matter how many laboratories they may work in, no matter how many things they think they have cured on their own, God is in control. He is, always will be, the great physician. He has allowed man to gain knowledge to create medicines, to create procedures and surgeries to aid in our health. But I can promise you this, that it is only because of God. Even that atheist doctor who has claimed that there is no way that a God created him, or a God has given him, the God has given him the knowledge, or her the knowledge to do what he or she does in the medical field. God is in control. I truly feel in my heart that this is a wake-up call across the globe, but even more so for the United States of America. God tells us in his word, if his people, he says, if my people will repent of their evil, of their wicked ways, their iniquities that are within their heart, and recognize who I am, I will forgive them of their sins. God's sending a message to our land that all the things we put our time into, all the things that we enjoy for entertainment, can be taken away just like that. And there's not one thing that you and I can do about it. You can worry all the day long. You can cry out all the day long. But there's not one thing you can do about what has happened or will continue to happen here in America and globally, because God is in control. I know many fans, student athletes, and parents have lamented over their child's high school or collegiate careers coming to an end so abruptly. And as you all know, I'm an avid sports fan, and I'm going to be honest with you. I am very saddened that I'm not going to get to watch March Madness. I love flipping through three or four different channels on Thursdays and Friday and Saturday, watching all of the different basketball games, and I'm going to miss it. What has happened and what is taking place here in America, what it's showing us is that these things do not matter, that these things are only for a while. All of the hard work that you put into training to be this collegiate athlete and then maybe on into the professional level, all of those things that you prepare for can be taken away in the twinkling of an eye. And then what do you have to show for it? Now put that on a grander scale. Perhaps God is taking away the things that man loves so dearly, trying to get our attention to look back to who he is. You know that he literally laid me on my back to open my eyes. Maybe time that he lays America on her back to open up her eyes. We pour so much into the things of this world that only bring temporary glory. And now, all of a sudden, life seems to matter because things are being taken away from us. How will you feel if the Lord told you that he's getting ready to take your life away? You have no proof to show that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Imagine the parents and the coaches who literally wept. Athletes who literally wept when they knew their season was no more. I wonder how many of those parents lament and weep over their children's souls.
Come on, preacher.
To know that their life
That's right.
could be no more. These things are putting our lives into perspective. Who would ever have thought the day would have come that the happiest place on earth would have to close its gates? You can see that our towns are not bustling as they were. Many people are staying inside. And I really believe that this is a foreshadowing of what the day will be like. And the Holy Spirit is withdrawn from this earth.
That's right.
Can you imagine the calamity? Can you imagine the chaos? The church is taken away. Look what's going on in our local stores now. The selfishness, the greed, the hoarding of water, the hoarding of toilet paper, the hoarding of sanitizer, the hoarding of Clorox wipes. You can get all the toilet paper and hand sanitizer you want and lock it away. But when you draw your last breath, it's still going to be sitting there.
That's right. That's right.
Where will that soul be? We put so much into the world, and we forget about our Jesus. As you sang that song this morning, as I heard many of you do, living hope, that's Jesus Christ. That's our medicine, our doctor, our test for the coronavirus. For the flu, for cancer, heart disease, diabetes. That's our living hope. That's all you need. We know that when we lose loved ones, our hearts are broken, we are sad. But when we lose a loved one who we know has gone on to be with the Lord, let us rejoice. Let us remember, as Pastor Brad said in his prayer, that life is but a vapor, and that yet we may have to live on this side of heaven with them for many, many years to come. We can be reunited with them. Most importantly, to see Jesus Christ, our living hope. In the twinkling of an eye, our lives can change. In the snap of your finger, everything that you know, everything that keeps you in the balance of this world can be altered. How many of you looked at your 401k this past week? Very disheartening. Can make your heart hurt. Can make you very upset. As you laid your head down and then woke up the next morning, thousands upon thousands of your dollars was gone. And there was nothing that you could do about it. Now, hopefully, as the economy will continue to grow and rise, you will be able to recuperate those monies lost. But those things in which you lost, you will never gain them. You'll never have that again. Just as if you lose your life today without knowing Christ Jesus, you will never recuperate that loss. For many of you who may have poured into your 401k, whatever you use for your savings, think of the decades of money, the hours that you've worked, that you've poured into that account so that you could build up that nest egg, so you could build up that storehouse, so that you would have a little bit of protection, a little security. And just like that, much of it was gone. Matthew chapter 6, if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to read a few verses. Verses 19 through 21. It speaks the treasures in which we lay up in heaven versus those treasures that we can lay up here on earth. Verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen to what Jesus says here. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I hope that you're not one of those greedy ones that I've already spoken of who has went and bought all of the toilet paper in our local stores here in town, or the hand sanitizers, or the Clorox wipes. But that's where your heart was. What were you worried about? I mean, you know, I understand that we need to be prepared. You know, I don't even understand why you're buying bottled water. They're not threatening to cut our water supply off. And then the last I checked, the biggest symptom of the coronavirus is respiratory failure. I'm not quite sure what toilet paper will do to aid you in respiratory failure. But this is the mentality of human greed. To go and buy everything that they can to look out for number one.
That's right.
And I want to go back to a comment that I made earlier in regards to the church being withdrawn. Think of how uncontrolled our society will be when there's not one Christian left standing here on this earth. Think about that. Our minds cannot even begin to grasp the evil that will take over this globe when the Church of Christ is no longer present. Many of you may treasure education, sports, your jobs, your 401ks, but let me encourage you this morning during this time of great doubt and great fear that you need to lay up your treasure in heaven. If you know that you have that place that God has already promised to prepare for you, do not worry about the things of this world. Don't let it consume your thoughts. Don't let it consume your mind. And definitely do not let it consume your heart. Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you." Listen to this last part. "I have called you by your name, and you are mine." I truly cannot think of any other words to say to you this morning that should bring you more comfort than anything else, to know that if God Almighty knows who you are, He's already told us that you are His. I know you by name. And you're mine. And I'll never, ever let you go. Even in this pandemic had not occurred, death is imminent for us all. But Christ, Jesus, tells us not to fear, because He has redeemed us and He has called you by your name. Think about that one day. One day He's literally going to look you in the eyes, and He's going to look at you, and He's going to say your name out loud. Your very name is going to come out of the very mouth of Jesus Christ. And you're going to know then that you're His and that He is yours. Are you His today? Are you God's child today? Jesus boldly proclaims in Revelation 1, verse 8, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come." And then it's a comma there, and it then ends with this powerful proclamation: "The Almighty." This is the God that we serve. This is the God that's going to see the town of Kershaw, the county of Lancaster, the state of South Carolina, the United States of America, and this global world in which we live to the very end. For those who have called upon the name of the Lord and have been saved, somehow or another, you and I are going to leave this world. And you've got to know, young at heart who are here, to our youth, and our children who are here, you have got to know where you'll spend life eternal. I cannot make that decision for you. I cannot make the decision for you to live a life that is pleasing to God. Pastor Brad cannot make that decision for you. No one else can but you. Fear not. We serve a God, the only God, who was in control of everything. Do not forget that. Do not waver in who you are in Christ Jesus because of the things you hear the world proclaim. Remember what Jesus Christ has proclaimed. He says in John 16:33, there will be many trials, there will be many tribulations that will come your way, but he says, fear not, I have overcome them all. He says to be of great cheer. Do you have that cheer? Do you know that he has already overcome this coronavirus? He has already overcome the things of this world. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, God. And I thank you for another opportunity to be back.